Okay. Simen Shin Mem Dalet or Shin Dalet Mem. Chiyav Hesfe V'Godol Schor V'Keitzad V'Almi Maspidim. So the Mechaber starts with Mitzvah Gedola Lehaspid Alameis Karoy. Right, it's a big mitzvah that's like one of the biggest kavanah meis is to give a hesped. What do you do in a hesped? So there are two aspects to a hesped. Mitzvah she yarim kolo lomor lav. That's the Gemara, I think, calls this deluye, to raise your voice. She yarim kolo lomor lav dvarm hamashabes aleifi the harbos bechia. It's a mitzvah to raise your voice. Raise your voice doesn't mean to scream. It means to speak in a, in a voice that inspires emotion and modulate your voice properly at the right time and break people's hearts so that they cry a lot, right? So half of the Iker Kiyum of Hesped, maybe even more than half, is to make people cry in a Hesped. Ula has kir shvacho, and to praise the mace. So there's the making people cry, and there is praising the mace. Those are the two necessary aspects of a hesped. The Mechaber then continues, V'asr lahaflig b'shivcha yosem yidai, el amazkirin mita social. You're not allowed to exaggerate, to overly exaggerate. The Gemara is very clear. You're not allowed to exaggerate the shevach of the mace, to say lies about him. Mentions midos tovus umosiv mem ktsas, and you add a little, you exaggerate a little. Rakshlo yaflig, but not to go too far, not to go far. And he didn't have any midos tovus, then you can't say it because that's not a slight exaggeration. That's a lie. The chacham chasim askirin lam chacham asim chas. You do some right either way. Their Torah knowledge or their piety. Chalamazgam mishlohayibo klal. Someone who says something that's totally not true. Oshemos will have to go to me die al mashayim. But he exaggerates, but exaggerates too much. Goring Rala Atzmul Mace. Okay, this is a pretty harsh penalty. He causes evil to himself, meaning he deserves a big punishment in Shamayim, and he causes evil to the mace. Because if you think about it, if like someone's being judged by the king or something, and I go in and I say these ridiculous things about him that aren't true, the king's not going to treat him like he really deserves. The king's going to treat him less than he deserves. He'll say, that's not true, he's no good at all. And likewise, I don't understand how things work in the Bezin Shamala, but we have Masorah, that if you say lies about the mace, it will not only will you hurt yourself, but you will hurt the din of the mace, so we have to be careful about this. The Taz asks the fascinating question here. First of all, the Taz points out something interesting at the end of this first Taz, so cut in the Taz. The mace hears what you say about him at the funeral. Until he's buried, Stimas HaGolel, which means the closing of the grave, the initial closing of the coffin in the grave, he hears what's going on, and the Taz, the main point of this Taz, we got knowledge, is yes, what's pshat? If you're not allowed to lie, why is it okay to lie a little, right? Normally, you're not allowed to do a virus even a little. So, he gives a interesting answer. He says, and it seems to be based on a principle in Chazal, right, that someone who wanted to do a mitzvah and then as lost and it didn't work out, he still gets credit for doing the mitzvah. So he says, mistama, now he's taking that a little further, right? You can give someone credit for what they wanted to do, it just didn't work out. Okay, that's very reasonable. You know, guy tried to, I don't know, save Klal Yisrael and do tremendous things and it didn't work out. It's not his fault. Of course we can praise him for that. So says the Taz, everyone, min hastam, statistically, wanted to do a little more mitzvot than he did. It just didn't work out for him. Mistama, no one does everything they want to do. Everyone has certain roadblocks and frustrations. And therefore, mistama, if circumstances had worked out better, he would have done a little more. We can't claim he would have been night and day. But mistama, if circumstances worked out, he would have done a little more. You know, I don't know how hard he tried. But okay, we extend this principle of giving someone credit for what they wanted to do, and say, we give him credit for what he would have done if the circumstances had worked out a little better, a little easier for him. And that's why we exaggerate a little. The Bach here, and the side of the Torah gives a different answer, he seems to say it's some sort of gzeira. He says, look, you can't be exact. You're going to end up lying a little, and it's not your fault, meaning you have no choice. No one knows how to be exact. We're not Hashem, we're not Bochim Klal Yisrael. So you're either going to, I'd say a little too much praise, or say, a little too little praise. Because no one knows exactly the truth. And therefore, he says, since mainly you can't be exact, therefore it's better to err on the side of praising him a little too much than praising him too little. And that's why it is mutter, because you can't be exact. So better to, if you're going to err anyway, better to err on the side of praising him a little too much. I thought, and I also saw this in the papers called Divrei Sofrim, that Pshat of the Rambani says you should exaggerate a little like the minhag is. And I thought maybe give a third answer why we exaggerate a little, although maybe this third answer creates a lot of philosophical problems, and that's why the Bach and the Taz didn't say it. Maybe the point is because everyone exaggerates a little. So if you're honest, then people will think he was less than that. Everyone doesn't exaggerate a lot. Everyone exaggerates a little. So therefore, you can't just tell the guy honestly. You know, it's like someone asks you about a shidduch or something. You have to be a little effusive in your praise, because if you're just very honest, they'll think they're less than that. And maybe that's a third explanation for why we exaggerate a little. In any case, the minhag is you're not allowed to lie, but you're allowed to you're required to exaggerate a little. That is halacha l'maisa. That's what it sounds like. The Ramban, and I saw it in the Sefer called Divrei Sofrim. It's the same idea as the Badei Shulchan, just different author. He also thought of Shana Ramban, because the Ramban says you exaggerate a little like people always do. So I thought what he's saying is the reason we do it, I'm adding, is because people always do it. Okay, so that's three possible explanations. And I want to come back to some of this in a little bit. Base, kashem shemaspidim al nashim kach maspidim al ha. You know what? Maybe even mention one or two other things about this seif, not about the exaggeration. But I pointed out in the beginning there were two different, I mean antithetical, complementary, but two different goals to a hesped. One is to get people to cry, and the other is to be mishabeach someone. Right? You can do one without the other. You're supposed to try to do both. So just to point out two things. First of all, I heard this on many occasions from Rav Lichtenstein, that there's generally room for these two elements, but the balance between these two elements is going to depend on the circumstances, and is often going to go together with age, although it could be other circumstances as well, right? If someone's a young kid, there's going to be less emphasis on the Shevach, because they didn't accomplish so much, and more on the Bechi, because it's so tragic. If someone's 100 years old, there's going to be less emphasis on the Bechi, because it's not so tragic, and there's going to be more emphasis on the Shevach, because they've had 100 years of accomplishments, and, I've been at Levayos, where I've looked at his master, Tanin, Mamish, little kids, and he said, okay, there's no Shevach, or we'll see myself saying, perhaps, but there's a lot of Bechi, and he was Ma'orer Bechi. So while there are always two elements, I think the balance between them depends on the circumstances. I point out one other thing, which is we know there are certain days when you're not allowed to be Masmit. Ranging from Doraisa days, like Chol HaMoed, to real Chagim, like Chanukah. And many days the minhag is not to be masped, like Pesach Sheni, etc. And the minhag nowadays is, on days when the minhag is not to be masped, at least on the quote-unquote minor holidays when the minhag is not to be masped, the minhag generally is that people get up and say, I'm not going to be masped because it's Nisan, it's Pesach Sheni, etc., etc. And then they give some Divrei His Orus. So, I think that, there's definitely, we can be so much on that minhag, because it's somewhat of an expectation, but I think it's very important that, A, you try to be honest on the day when it's also to be masped, to give Divrei His Orus, and B, if the Divrei His Orus clearly border and overlap with Hesped, but they should only overlap with the Shevach side of Hesped. They should not at all overlap with the Ma'orer Bechi side of Hesped. So, if it's a day we're not supposed to be masped, and you exaggerate a little, you give some Divrei Orus, which also mentions lessons we can all take from the Niftar, which also shows how great the Niftar was, that is an acceptable minhag that's introducing some flexibility into the halacha here. But if it all borders on Ma'orer Bechi, then that would really be inappropriate. Because on a day of Simcha, you're not supposed to be Me'orer Bechi. Okay, base. Shem Shmasir al Nashin, Tachatir al Nashin, Karoi Lahem. Just like we're maspid men, we're maspid women. One should not think that it is a problem. Sneas, Vinispados, Bein HaNashin, V'chachamim. And one should not think it's socially inappropriate for men and even Chachamim and very important people to be at the hesped of a woman, even though in many historical periods women had very low social status, and one could certainly have had the Havamina. That whatever, you're not going to be masked her and waste the time of the important people if she has such a low social status. But the answer is, what do you mean low social status? We're all B'nai and B'nos Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, and we all have a very high social status in Hashem's eyes, and therefore, you know, regardless, nowadays women have the same social status as men anyway in most communities, but even in the old days, regardless of how, what someone's social status was, you're masked with them even in the presence of, and it's not considered wasting the time, it's considered a valid use of the time, of even important people. Gimel. Okay, there are, this is a minute we don't have nowadays. You don't hire whalers. They also hire flute players. In the old days, they had slightly different ceremonies in those days. But the principle is that one is obligated to give the proper kavod as expected in your social circumstances, and specifically a husband for a wife. What was the fear? The fear is that the husband, once the wife died, perhaps he didn't have such a good relationship with his wife. You know, blood is blood, but maybe he didn't have such a good relationship with his wife. He's chassid and he only met her 20 minutes ago, and so he doesn't want to invest a lot of money in this. So the answer is no. It's a chiyuv ksuba. He has to pay for whatever is socially expected in the funeral for his wife. So nowadays that would translate to what's socially expected now. And if he doesn't want to, then her blood relatives can lay out the money and then sue him to recoup their expenditures. Dalit. Katan ben kama shanim yikshem aspidim alav. How old a kid do we give a hesped for? The assumption is we don't give a hesped for babies. So how old? Aniyim b'nei chamisha, ashirim b'nei shisha. Interestingly, there's a certain sensitivity to aniyim here. Aniyim 5 years old, ashirim 6 years old. Seemingly the explanation is, I think it's even in the shach here perhaps, or the taz, that, you know, the aniyim have such hard lives as it is, you know, and they're, you know, their whole life is nothing but the only simcha they have in their whole life is their kids. And therefore we have extra sensitivity and we're masper for their kids even 1 year earlier. Not that the rich people don't care about their kids, but everyone loves their kids. But the rich people at least have a life. The poor people in those days, they were really poor. They don't have any life. The only ray of sunshine in their entire life is playing with their kids, and therefore we are a little more sensitive towards them. B'nei zakenim kivnei aniyim. You know, and if someone was old and had kids, then that's also more the feeling of loss is greater. So we're also more sensitive. 1 second. Avol tzidik adin mekadosh omer altinim shavur lo shloshinim. That's talking about hesped, because you know a little kid, there's not so much to say in the hesped. However, when it comes to the tefilos, like tzidduk hadin and kaddish, that we say as long as he's 30 days. Remember, until 30 days, he might not be a real person, because he might be a suffig nefel. So it's a suffig whether he's ever born or not. So then we don't do anything. But once tinuk's 30 days old, then we say all the tefilos. The Rama says, "Ve'ein nogin kein aloshia ben yud beischodesh yosef mita." The Rama says, "No, but our minhag Ashkenaz is until they're a year old, we don't say any of the tefilos." But the Shach says, not true, that here in Lublin, we do like the Mechaber, and lo aleinu, it shouldn't happen, but the modern day poskim assume, like the Shach, that the Minhag Ashkenaz, as far as the same, from 30 days, we say the Tfilos, but the Hesped is not till 5 or 6 years old. Now, every place I've been nowadays, I've seen people speak at the funeral with Hespedim. Again, not a lot of Shevach. It's Maisa Hosein, etc., but a lot of bechi, even for ktani ktanim, which seems to be against the Shulchan Aruch here, so maybe, I thought maybe you could answer, that maybe the Shulchan Aruch just means you're not chayiv to maspid them if they're under 5 or 6, But if you want to volunteer to be maspid, you still can. And nowadays you want to volunteer to be maspid. I once asked Reluchsin about this. And he said to me that one of the things we noticed that's hope maybe we've noticed already a little, and we're going to notice a lot more, is that Hilchas Avelos out of all of your Dea, for sure, and Orachayim, out of all of your Dea and Orachayim, Hilchas Avelos is the one area of Halacha where we follow the classical Makoros the least. There are things in the Gemara that the Rishonim say we don't do. Dinam chiyuv and gemurim in the Gemara. Kfiyas amita natifas arosh. We'll see. Tosa says we don't do nowadays. There are things in the Rishonim that the Ramah says we don't do. There are things in the Shulchan Aruch that the Achronim say we don't do. And there are things in the Achronim on the side that the modern day poskim say we don't do. Like the example we left off with last time. Remember we left off last time? The Onen from Maseches Machos in the Mechaber cannot sit on a chair or lie down on a bed. And I checked all the modern sefer. Every modern sefer said the same thing. Said all achronim through the chachmas adam etc. brought down this halacha. But nowadays we're makel. You know, the last 100 years achronim. Nowadays the onen sits on a chair and lies on a bed, and then everyone tries to figure out why. No, there's a good explanation. Some people say maybe we're weak nowadays, so it's hard for us to be on the floor. Others say maybe that was only in the days when they did kfiyas hamita. Although that doesn't really work for the Chavis. In his days, they didn't kfiyas over to the bed. We'll get to it. Okay, there's not a great explanation that really is yotze everything. That answers up all the, that closes up all the holes. But in many areas of Hilchas Avelos, things are very different nowadays. Why in many areas of Avelos are things so different nowadays? So it could be because, as we'll see, a lot of Avelos is about giving kavod to different various people. We'll see kavod ames or kavod achayim. You know, it's about giving people what they need. Therefore, when it comes to b'nam l'makom, giving, I shouldn't say giving Hashem what he needs, because that's philosophically inadmissible. But, you know, serving Hashem the way he wants to be served, so that doesn't depend on us. That depends on Hashem. And Hashem doesn't change. That's a basic rule. But when it comes to giving people what they need, that can be more societally based. And, you know, the ikkar to give people what they need and to express certain things in a helpful way, then it could be that even Chazal gave guidelines, those guidelines are just hechitimtzes and applications and weren't necessarily, you know, totally binding. That is a bit of a chiddush. I wouldn't go around saying that on my own in any area of halacha. But it does seem to be that we do see such things in Hilchas Avelos. I thought also that, you know, the Rav has a famous vart. It's in the Yartzeit Shirim, and now he has they published a Sefer Hilchas Avelos, it's all over there. The Rav has a famous vart. We mentioned this in Morning Seder. I'm sure Ryan Miller mentioned it in Morning Seder as well. It's not like Rashi in Sukkah Daf Chaf Hey, that the Iker Kiyum of Avelos, the Kiyum believes, is an experience belief. And it's not really about the external actions as much as the experience belief. And Chazal gave us certain actions that can contour that experience belief. But we would understand that the more something is experience belief, the more the Iker Kiyum is belief, the less the external actions are set in stone, and it might make more sense, they're more flexible. Well, that's what it has been, but at least in Avelos. So we definitely see that in various parts of Hilchas Avelos, either because the Kiyum belief aspect in Avelos specifically, or maybe because of the covet aspect in Avelos and Halvayas Hameis, etc. There's a lot more flexibility nowadays. So, let's just go back to this. When I asked Rav Lichtenstein about this Sif and Shulchan Aruch, I said, how come I always go to funerals, unfortunately, lo aleinu, I hope I don't have to, of little kids, mamish little kids. And they always give a hesped, and that's against the Shulchan Aruch. You know, is it because just, you know, potter, but we volunteer to do it? So Rav Lichtenstein said maybe, but he thought it was really because the world has changed. Once upon a time, a kid under 5 or 6 years old, you didn't really count on them living to growing up. You know, a kid 5 or 6 years old who dies, that's just like an occupational hazard. That's why, you know, you have like 10 kids, so that's 7 of them, well, you get to the age of 7. And that's just part of life. And therefore, you know, there was maybe, you know, there was less of a need for the hesped. But he said nowadays, with our modern world, things are totally different. You know, the expectation of a normal person is you have a baby. Obviously, no one ever knows what's going to happen. But in the normal, derech hateva, you know, how it's we expect people to get old. We have Baruch Hashem. We have a lot of modern technology and et cetera, in medicine and nutrition, et cetera, and we're much better off. So he says maybe that's why nowadays the minhag is to be maspid, even younger kids, because there's more of a need nowadays, because it's not considered like part of normal life for little kids to die like it was in the old days. Okay.
Did the Rav say that was... Was he giving his hesber for why there's so much wiggle room? Or
no, not at all. Not at all. I added that. The Rav was giving his hesber. The Rav's biggest raya was, the Gemara says, the beginning of the third parak of Mon Katan, that regel is docha viglus. Why? Because the asay derabim is docha the asay diyachim. We'll get to it. Regel is obviously asay derabim. Everyone keeps shatif. Avil is only for this one person. And therefore, the asay of the rabim is docha the asay diyachim. That makes perfect sense. I mean, it's a philosophically interesting, the rabim is docha the yachid, but I think it makes sense. It might be hard for the yachid to accept sometimes, but it does make sense. But the Rav says, forget our philosophy. What's the dechia here? Simchas yomtiv is baser v'yayin. An owning is aser baser v'yayin, but an avil is mutter baser v'yayin. So let him keep avilus and a baser v'yayin. He could do both. Whoever heard of being docha if you're willing to do both, right? Remember, Shlokish says, efshel kaim shneim, then you have to do both. So why should it be dechia? Do both, simchas yomtiv and avilus. So Rav says, nah. If simchas yomtiv meant eating and drinking wine, and avilus meant sitting on the floor and wearing ripped clothing and not bathing, etc., then that would be true. But Simchas Yomtiv, you encourage and express it through wine and meat. But it's really through the Simcha B'Leiv. And Avelus is expressed through various Nihugim, but it's really sadness in your leiv. And therefore, you can't have them both. Either your leiv is happy or your leiv is sad. You can't have them both. And that's why there has to be a Dechiyah, and why Regel is Doch Avelus. That was the Rav's famous Raya. That, for two things, Avelus is a Kiyam B'Leiv, and Simchas Yomtiv is a Kiyam B'Leiv. That was his famous Raya for these two things. Mitaka seems to be a good raya. Okay, there are ways to get out of it, but they're not neat. So that's where the Rav got that part. Okay, so we threw in a few sodas here. Let's learn a few more halachos then. Hey, b'nei ashirim nechacham mosivim tzas al shevach ma'aseihem, because of the honor of their parents, you add a little. Here it's machlokis in the modern day achronim. I saw in the Divrei Sofrim. Does that mean that you always add a little? That's if aleph. So you add a little extra, or does that mean no? You add a little for adults and for kids. You don't add a little, but if their parents are chashuv, you add a little. Okay, unclear. Tinek she had at least a leiting, a kid who can interact with people. Maspidim, you know, you can go to the store, he can participate in society. Maspidim is a maisa atzmo. Then we talk about himself, because he's, even though he's under bar mitzvah, he still does things. Maspidim is a maisa avosav. And if he doesn't do anything, then you praise him with what his parents do. And if his parents are also not so great, then you praise him with what his relatives do. Meaning, you use the parents and the relatives to praise someone if they, a kid at least, if he doesn't have his own actions yet. Hakala. Kala means not what we call a kala. We call a kala a girl who's engaged, I think. Kala, that's not the usage in the Shulchan Aruch. Kala means a married woman. A daughter-in-law, as it were. Maspino so bimasevia. We want to praise her, how chashuv she is, whether through what her husband accomplishes or through what her father accomplishes. This is the principle, the Shach says here, of oli mova and yoredes. In all manners of social standing, a married woman gets the best of both worlds. If her family had a higher social status, then she deserves the social status of her family. If her new husband has a higher social status, she gets the social status of her husband. So whichever side is more chashuv, we give her that honor. Hamachuta v'sorus v'nefelim ben ches v'chein ben tes meis v'ovikom v'avodim emes askim le'hesped ve'lilvos. Okay, there are two different categories of people there. The first category of people who are considered to never have been born and therefore not be people. And there's still Tomas meis for an Eiffel, but there's not a all the ben un l'chaveiro chiyuvim. So someone who is born chopped in pieces or born came out backwards in a way that didn't survive the birth, or lo aleinu, and just a miscarriage and born prematurely in the eighth month, which in those days could not survive, and likewise born full term and looks normal, just unfortunately dead. Those are people don't get a levaya, and no one has to go to levaya, no one has to go to hesped, because they're not people, they're not born. And ovichom navadim, because they're not full Jews. Ovichom not a Jew at all. The Eved is basically not a Jew, or at least not a full Jew, rather. So therefore, there's no chiyuv of hesped and levaya on them. However, the Shach points out, there's meduyik. You don't have to give the social honor, but you still have to give the mita and the kfur. You still have to give the physical honor to the body to give them a dignified burial. Siftes. Yorshim she'ein rotzim lefroschar hespeidon motziyam em ba'karcho. Apparently in the old days, the biggest expense was paying the people at the funeral. The mekononos and the people who played the chalilim and the hespeidim, which are, you know, so all merged into each other. So let's say the yorshim don't want to pay. Then we make them pay against their will. This is based on the discussion in the Gemara whether hesped is yikra de chaye or yikra de shechvi. Shechvi, also shechvi, means the mate. So is the hesped to honor the living relatives or to honor the dead? The nafkamina is this. What if the living relative says, we don't want a hesped? We're mochlar, we don't want to spend the money. No one has to spend money to honor themselves if they don't want to. So if the hesped would be for the honor of the living, then if they don't want it, they don't have to have it. But if the hesped is for the honor of the dead, then it's not up to them to be mochel. Then they do have to pay for it. So we paskin hesped is yikra de shechvi. We paskin, in a few places we'll see, that hesped is for the honor of the dead, and therefore, even if the kids say we don't want to spend money, they still have to. And this is true of the funeral of Bechlau. The whole funeral, we paskin, is for the honor of the dead, or at least all the parts that cost money nowadays. And therefore, the Yorshim can't be mochel and say, you know, we don't, we'll just send him to Potter's Field or whatever they call it. They have to pay. However, the Nosi Kalim point out, the Shach Tzvikon Zayin says, when do they have to pay? They have to pay if they inherited their father's money. Because their inheritance has to go to bury their father. It was his money. However, let's say their father died without any money. Then they don't necessarily have to pay. We can't necessarily force them to pay. It's only, you know, mitzad tzedakah, you know, who's right to pay and who's not. But they're not automatically chayiv. So basically, the estate is automatically chayiv. The Yorshim can't say, we want the whole Yerusha. The estate is chayiv to pay for the expenses. If the guy died without any money, do his kids have to spend their own money? So we don't necessarily force them to spend their own money. Then that just depends on the normal rules. So in the normal rules, there's definitely a kedima of tzedakah for relatives. But it's not automatic that they would have to pay. If the kids were strapped for cash and there were rich people in town and gave tzedakah, then we'd go to the rich person and ask them to give tzedakah, and we wouldn't force the kids to pay from their own money. Yud. This is just the flip side of, I mean, it's like the first thing about the flip side of tes, right? There's two nafkaminas. One is if the Yorshim are mochel, and one is if the dead guy's mochel. So he says, don't be masked me, since we paskin, it's yirkud shechli, it's for his honor, he can be mochel his own honor, it's up to him. And therefore, we do not, we are chayiv to listen to him, since it's his honor, we have to do it his way, not our way. And that is halacha l'maisa. Every once in a while, you have gedolim, or even, I don't necessarily mean world famous gedolim, but, you know, people are gedolim in their own ways, who command not to be masked them, and generally we listen to them, and we are not, masked them. There's actually someone who was a night Sidur Ram, a big tzaddik in Torah Shraga, who passed away, I don't know, it must be quite a number of years ago by now, and I'm pretty sure he left in his tzava that they shouldn't be masked him. They weren't masped him, but they cheated a little. They just read out loud his safa, and okay, that was better than hesped, because you see, like, well, you know, what he was concerned with and what legacy he was leaving his kids, then you were very, very, very impressed. His name was Rabbi Eisner, and he was a very, very unique Tzaddik. And then there are Gedolim who command not to be eulogized. What if a Gadol Batorah, like a Gadol Ador, commands not to be eulogized? On the one hand, it's a Mefurish Halacha, that it's Yichud HaShefi, it's his honor, and we, if he doesn't want it, then we can't honor someone against their will. On the other hand, what about Kavod HaTorah? Right? So that's the discussion of Pesachei Tshuva here, and it's a story, right? When the Pnei Yoshua died, he commanded not to eulogize him. A lot of Gedolim command not to eulogize them. That's because Gedolim are often also humble people. Because if you're a Gedol HaTorah, you have good midos. And therefore, they don't want to be eulogized. So the Pnei Yoshua said, don't eulogize me. And the Nod Behuda got up and was maspid him anyway. And give a hesber how, no, this is an exception. For a regular person, we eulogize him. But for the Kavod HaTorah of Torah Hashem, we eulogize him anyway. And then he quotes here, then the Shutshuv Me'ava by a Talmud of the Nod Behuda, he wasn't convinced by what his Rebbe said. And he thought that maybe his Rebbe shouldn't have analyzed the Pnei Yoshua. Halacha l'maisa, I think the minhag nowadays is that if a Gadol Batorah commands not to be eulogized, then the minhag is not like the Nod Behuda. We don't eulogize him. Okay, I mean, I'm not questioning. Usually it's the Gedolei Torah make this decision whether you eulogize other Gedolei Torah. So they can decide without my opinion. But from what I've seen, most of the times when Gedolim die and leave instructions not to be eulogized, the other Gedolim listen, and they don't follow the Nod Behuda. There's also one other interesting thing in this Pesachei Tshuva. What if you have two enemies, and one of them dies, and the other one's a big Talmud Chacham and deserves a lot of honor? So should you detract from the eulogy of the dead one in order to honor the live one? So hopefully we can guess this on our own. The answer is no. Just because someone's an enemy of someone doesn't give us the right to detract from their kavod, and if giving kavod to one person offends another person, then it's tough luck on them. And this can be true even if not talmid chachamim, meaning that you can't detract from the eulogy of one person just because some other guy would be offended. I'm not talking here about cases where sensitivity is required, you know, where there was some terrible abuse or something, and then, and someone was a Rosh Gomer, and then obviously we're not going to get up if someone was a terrible abuser of his kids and start praising them and, you know, traumatize the kids. But if we're talking about Stam, like people who just don't get along with each other, even if one of them is important and powerful, or one of them is a Talmud Chacham, still, we should do the right thing. So Hesped Ikvi Mochel. It continues, however, the Ramah, according to Shutmar Yuvayel, on Tzimish Lulunigo, Zion, Zer Shloshim, Ein Shomen Lo. And this is very controversial. What if a guy commanded, don't do Avelos for me, don't do Shiva and Shloshim? Do we listen or not? So says Mar Yuvayel, we do not listen to him. We still keep Shiva and Shloshim. And this is very controversial, and Rabbi Kiva Eger questions this and says it doesn't make any sense. And in the Pesachei Tshuva, he quotes from the Iyun Yaakov, on the bottom of the Iyun Yaakov, which is from the Torah Sashlom. Same person as the Torah Sashlom, or Yaakov Reicher, and a hundred other very, very, very authoritative Svarim. Also argue in this Ramah, based on the following question. If we have, let's go back to Hesped. Hesped, remember, is it Yikra Dechaye? Or Yikra Deshechvi, and what were the two Nafkabinas? I think we're Siftes and Sifyun, if I'm not mistaken. If the Yorshim Einam Rotsim, or if the Mace Tziva Shalola Haspido. If it's Yikra Dechaye, then if the Yorshim don't want, then they are Paturim. And if the Mace said not to, then we're maspidim anyway to honor his family. But if it's for the covenant of the dead person, if the yorshim don't want to, then we're kofinosam lehaspido, meaning to pay someone to give a hesped or a rabbi to officiate nowadays. And if the mace said not to, they ain't maspidim. And we saw that we paskin, we have a clear psak on this. Our clear psak is that hesped is yikr deshichvi, and therefore we don't care about the living relatives say, we only care what the mace said. How about Avelos? Is Avelos Yikra de Chaye, or is Avelos Yikra de Shifri? Okay. So here we can also have some nafkaminas. How about Avelos Zion Velamed Shiva and Shloshim? Is it Yikra Dechaye? Meaning, is it to honor the living relatives? This way they get to express their emotions and people come and comfort them and they get to deal with it. Or no, it's Yikra Deshechvi. It's to show honor for their departed one. Like Rashi said, Nafkafei, to show Kavna Meis. So here we can think of two Nafkaminas. One Nafkamina is Siva Shalo Lezabalolov. If he compels you not to know Belos, if it's Yikra Dechaye, then you'd still be Mesablim, because you're doing it, they're doing it for themselves, not for him. If it's Yikra Deshechvi, then they wouldn't be Mesablim, because if he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. There's another Nafkamina is, what about, I don't know if anyone can read this, what about Ma'abed Atzmo Ladas, right, or other Rishayim, right? Someone who commits suicide, we don't honor them. So do we sit Shiva and Shloshim for them? So you could say, if it's Yikra Dechaye to their relatives need a lot of help now. So then you would say that we are Misabel, because who cares that he's a Russia? It's not for him, it's for the relatives. But if you say that it's for his honor, then we don't want to honor him. He's not deserving of honor. He's dishonorably discharged himself from life. And therefore, we would say, Amos Ablin Olav. And here's where the Ramah gets a little tricky. Because the Ramah paskins right here, before straight out, that if he says not to do Avelos, says the Ramah, we're Miss Abel anyway. But in the next simon, says the Ramah, if he's Ma'abed Atzmo Ladas, we're not Miss Abel. But we might have shock. What's going on here? If it's for the honor of the kids, they should be Miss Abel either way. And if it's for the honor of the dead person, they shouldn't be Miss Abel either way. This is Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Ion Yaakov's Kasha on the Ramah. And it seems to be a good Kasha. Seems to be a good kasha on the Ramah. Shula, can I just bother you to you know what, I'll bother myself. It'll be quick.
Would have done it. For the record, for the recording. Shula would have done it.
Sorry, I hope you're not upset that I took this close away from you. It's taken you a long time.
We could be mocked at him for getting markers. Not even if he didn't.
I mean, I wouldn't be prepared to publish something.
Praise him.
Yes, after his Mea Be'esrim, we could be mocked at him for getting markers. Okay, so now there are shitas that are consistent. Like, for example, the blue would be Rabbi Akiva Eger. He has as a kasha, it seems clear where he's leaning. And the Ion Yaakov, they say either way in the Sablon. It's Yikra de Shechvi. And there's another shita.
Either you are or you're not.
What? Either way you're not.
Okay.
It's Yikra de Shechvi, you're not. The shita of the Ramban is that, I mean, it's not clear what he says here, but I think we have a dayik, that you are master Mabedis Moladas, because he thinks Avelos is Yikra de Chayi. Then he's consistent. But the Ramah is inconsistent. And that's the kasha they all have in the Ramah. They say, look inside the Mari Weil. What does the Mari Weil say? He says, well, I'm not sure if it's Yikra de Chayi or Yikra de Shechvi. Okay, he's not sure, but he says it's totally on Yikra de Chayi, Yikra de Shechvi. So therefore, we have to be consistent. And that's why a lot of Achronim reject the Ramah. How do you defend the Ramah? So the Levush and the Chochmas Adam defend the Ramah. Says the Ramah, according to the answer of the Levush and the Chochmas Adam, they say, look at the end of the Mari Weil. I think it was in the Dark Emotion. So look at the end of Mari Weil. He says, because it's ridiculous. You can't just eliminate the mitzvah of Avelos. What are they explaining in the Ramah? That really it is Yikra Deshechvi. And therefore, if he's Ma'abed Atzmo Ladas, Ein Misablin Olav. paying this Avlan Olaf. Says Yichur de Shechvi, and Chazal did not want us to honor him, right? Ki Chazal lo ratzu l'chavdo. However, here they throw a curveball, Avela Shiva and Shlushim is not just a chov being adam l'chaveiro of Yichur de Shechvi, it's a mitzvah. Even though it's Yichur de Shechvi, it's a mitzvah. Chazal made it into a mitzvah. Once a mitzvah, what that meant is that it's not that we owe the departed person the yikra de shechvi of avelus. Chazal commanded us to honor him with this particular yikra. They decided this yikra de shechvi, not if he's a Rosh Marusha. If he's a Rosh Marusha, then we don't want to honor him. But if Chazal wanted to honor him, it's not that they wanted us to give him what he wanted. They decided he objectively needs this honor. So, Miss Avlana love, because Chazal made it into an objective mitzvah. Okay, that's a chiddush. It's like a curveball. But that's how we paskin. Just one second. We paskin like the Rambah. We paskin it's yikra d'shechvi, but nonetheless, you can't be mochel on shiva or shloshim, because when Chazal wanted to honor this person, they said, this is an honor that we're insisting you give. And they made it to a mitzvah. And therefore, he can't be mochel on Shem and Shlosh Shemot.
Even if you'd say it's Yikra de Chayei, I mean, they could just be mochel and not do Avelos if they wanted to. Like, before the same, so you'd have to say that also. It would be strange that they could just decide together, like, we don't want to do Avelos.
Correct. It would be strange. We don't find they could be mochel. There are things that are Yikra de Chayei. We don't find they could be mochel on them.
Right.
So you're right. I think you're right.
Is there any parallel to this in the question of, let's say, from 12 months for a parent?
Ah! So, let's see what someone can be mochel on and what someone can't be mochel, right? Who can be mochel? So, what did we just say? Hesped is the mace, because it's Yekra de Shechvi. Avelos Zion Velamid, no one. Because this curveball, that even though it's Yikra d'Shechvi, it's a mitzvah. But the diuk is Zayin v'lamid. What would you be medayik? Zayin v'lamid, he can't be mochel, but Yud Beis Chodesh, the parent can be mochel. Because after all, how can you say it's like an objective mitzvah? It's only for parents, not for all relatives. Why is it only for parents? Because you owe them kibbutz av aim. We know they can be mochel kibbutz av aim. Everyone knows parents can be mochel kibbutz av aim. Right? Your father could say, you're allowed to sit in my chair. Right? Your father could say, you know, I'll wash your feet, like Rabbi Tarfon's mother. Etc. So, therefore, when it comes to Yud Beis Chodesh, that is mefurish in the Shach Sivkat Tes Avelos Yud Beis Chodesh. The mace can be mochel. The mace can be mochel Avelos Yud Beis Chodesh because that is a pure kibbutz av aim. That's not objective mitzvah. And one last thing, which is a little tricky. Which is, and this is controversial, not everyone agrees this, in the Pisnei Tshuva, the Enes Kodin Aleph, in the Tshuvas Evan Shoham, Mishat Siva, Shednolo Yomer Kaddish Alof Shominlo, if someone says, don't say Kaddish for me, then you listen to them. If someone says, don't say Kaddish to me, you listen to them. Because it's for the kapara of the mace. And he could be mochel's kapara. As a matter of fact, it could be that if he doesn't want the kapara, then it won't work anyway. Lemaisa, the minig nowadays for most places I've seen is that you know, we assume that perhaps they really would have wanted Kaddish to be said, and I don't think the minig's like the Evan Shoham. Even though he has a good point, right? If I say I don't want to bring a korban and get kapara, you can't bring a korban for me and get me kapara. I can't, you know, it's up to me whether I get kapara or not. Nonetheless, the minig nowadays, not like the Evan Shoham, and even if the parent said, not to say Kaddish, we generally say Kaddish for them.
That happens, the parent.
What?
That happens, the parent say not to say Kaddish.
So there can be two cases. One of the parents says, I don't want to be on Shriach, you can say Kaddish. So then we say, they don't want to be a triach you, but you should really do it. Then sometimes a parent, like you might not be from, he says, I don't believe in this Kaddish thing, don't say Kaddish for me. So the minhag seems to be say, that was before they got upstairs. Then they realized they were wrong and they took it back.
Is it an absolute? Like, can you be mocha on certain things or other things? Like, oh, when I die, I still want you to go to weddings. But like other things, like, is it like a, do you want to pick and choose, or is it like a?
I would assume yes. That's not the myth. I mean, I never heard of people whose parents say, "I want you to go to weddings." But if they did, then I guess we would listen, because you can be mochel, keep it up the aim. If someone's parents died, they don't really want to go to weddings right away. They're sad.
I've heard people say, like, I know I shouldn't be at your wedding, but like my parents would have wanted me to be. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So I have a Rebbe who's a great Talmud Chacham who taught me that the proper analysis of such svaras is nunu. You might be familiar with this Rebbe as well. He's a very wise man. He's so wise that he encapsulated about an hour response in two syllables. And so well. Kaddish, the minhag in Kaddish, what I've seen nowadays is that we say it anyway, unlike the Evan Shom. Yud Aleph, Isser Flisha Sarah, King Sri Dalmash Simon Kofpe, Ayan Shum, Yud Beis. Okay, these are special rules Chazal made. We're not going to get into the lumdus here for how sort of the Osek B'mitzvah works with people who are not necessarily Oskim in a very active sense. Ha'am Ha'oskim B'Hesped, meaning they're listening to the Hesped, called Mancha, makes multiple names, the Shvatan Echad Echad Kornis Hashma, boom, mispalim. At what, it's actually a big machlot shown in
or Chaim Sivayim Beis,
but they daven when we say Shema, although most Arkanim seem to go with the Mechaber here, that the people listening to the Hesped in front of the mace, they leave one by one, take turns to say Shema and daven, so that they don't empty out the funeral home. Bless you. Ain't a mace with little thing, but if they're having a Hesped without the mace, they just gather to have a Hesped in an auditorium, then Hein Yoshim Korein, then, even if the relative is there, but the body's not there, sometimes the body will be far away, especially before modern communications, so they have a little hesped with the relative. And even if he's an onen, so he doesn't daven or say Shema, they say Shema, and he sits quietly. When they daven, he is matzdik, a lovas hadin, but Omer, meaning he accepts Hashem's judgment for Omer, Yehira Tom Venechashem Lakai, Shetigar, Pachasinim, Pachasinim, Amcha, Beisrael. And they say, Shetigar, Pachasinim, that's the only tefillah he's allowed to say, because it is, sort of a relevant response to his situation. Yud Gimel, Akar Kura, Mafsik, and a hesped, Bein, Kresh, Bein, Tefillah. This is all before Kura. But after the Kfura, then we interrupt the Hesped, Bein the Kriyashma, Bein the Tefila, because it is less Hummer at that point. Yod Dalid, Ein Osin Shtei Espedim, Be'er Achas, Elen Ken Yishim, Rov Am Lechalik, Shnaim, Be'er Chol Hesped, Am Tzei Tzarko. You can't make two funerals at the same time in one small town. New York, there's a lot of people. Unless there's enough people to give proper covenant both of them. Okay, that's common sense. And Ein Osin Shtei Espedim, Be'er Achas, Elen Ken Yishim, Lesaper, Shemach, 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 you also can't make two funerals at the same time in the same town unless there are enough speakers who know how to properly speak in praise of the two people. Like, there's only one rabbi who knows how to speak nicely, then you can't have two funerals at the same time because one of them is not going to get a good speech. Tes Zion. Ein Omrim. This is something which is very halacha l'maisa. Ein Omrim v'nei meis elo dvar shel meis. The Gemara says in Brachos that you're not allowed to, in the presence of the mace, you're not allowed to talk about anything except for things relevant to the mace. Okay, there are two deos in the Gemara there, two lishonos in the Gemara there. Is this talking about Dibrei Torah? Because of Aloy Larosh, we're talking Torah, he can't learn Torah anymore? Or is this talking even about Dibrei Chol, that it's just disrespectful to be distracted in the presence of the mace? So this is two lishonos in the Gemara, and there's a Masorah for Rav Haigo and all the lishonos that we paskin like Lishnakama, that the Isser is in Dibrei Torah. But then the question becomes, how far to take it? Because there's a Rishami that says, outside of Dalet Amos is Mutter. And the question is, what's it talking about? How is that relevant to this Gemara in Brachos? So let's see what the Mechaber does. That's necessary. I will sharkled over usher. You're not allowed to talk about anything else. So honey, you live the very Torah of Yom Lesnaba. Only the very Torah or usher in the presence of the mace. But Mila Galma, stam speech is permitted. So it's only necessary to write Torah, which means that you're allowed to say Divrei Torah L'tzorech HaMeis. Right? What kind of Divrei Torah can you say L'tzorech HaMeis? You can say Zayin, Mocha Lor, Psukim and Drushas L'tzorech HaMeis. You can say Psukim and Drushas. Right nowadays, there's a lot of Divrei Torah in Hasidim. That's okay, because it's relevant to the Meis. V'sokai Ramosov, V'besa Kvaros, even within Arba Amos, even V'besa Kvaros, you're allowed to say Divrei Torah if they are for the cover of the Meis. Although, good lesson, the Taz in the Sifkat and Hay says a maspid just showing off his erudition, that's Hakan Isser saying Divrei Torah, they're not related to the mace. Only if it's really for the cover of the mace. Okay, nowadays, generally in our funerals, the rabbis aren't just stam showing off their Torah knowledge. Every funeral I've been at, whenever anyone says Divrei Torah, it's really for the cover of the mace. So we keep this halacha properly. I don't think I've ever seen anyone violate this halacha. Now the question is, where does Arba Amos fit in with this? Right? So, in Tes Zayin, he doesn't say anything about Arba Amos. Right? In Sif Tes Zayin, he doesn't say anything about Arba Amos. So now in Sif Yud Zayin, he says, B'toch Arba Amosav. But that's just like an added detail. In the main halachi doesn't say anything. So here's the question: what about Divrei Torah, and what about Divrei Chol? So the Mechaber, according to the Shach, the way the Shach understands, is that the Mechaber is like the Rush, the plain Rush. The Rush said the Bavli does not matter outside of Dal Amos, so therefore he says Divrei Torah is Asurin. Afilu chutz ledalat amos, and divrei chol is mutarim. Afilu toch dalat amos, because he's not mechalik. He says you can say divrei torah within dalat amos. It means even within dalat amos. You know, there's no difference within and outside of dalat amos. He just gives the extra chiddush in Yud Zayin. The Shach says the mechaber is not mechalik between within and outside of dalat amos. However, the Bach Pasal Anker Bini Yerucham added to the Rush. The Rush says also even Chutz LeDalat Amos. The Yerucham says, what about the Yerushalmi LeDalat Amos? That must be Divrei Chol. So the Bach Paskins, based on Rini Yerucham, no Divrei Torah are Asurim. You can't read this into Mechaber. This is the Bach. Afilu Chutz LeDalat Amos, and Divrei Chol are Asurim Tov Dalat Amos, and Mutarim Chutz LeDalat Amos. Meaning there's two dinim here. Divrei Torah, Asur, anywhere. Because it's extra log. The Rush, okay, the Achron debate, is it log the Rush or is it neglecting the needs of the mace? It's obviously, it's a bigger log the Rush if you're in front of the mace. Divrei Torah, there's a log the Rush aspect, is Asur even outside of Dal Amos. If you're at the funeral, I mean if you're on the side of town. And Divrei Chol, that's only disrespectful if you're right next to him. You don't take any small talk. In front of the mace. It's obviously disrespectful. That's the Bach. The Gra here in Sifkat and Ches says no way. Says they're all wrong. Says the Gra, and this could be Pshat in the Mechaber. He's reading it into the Mechaber. He says, look at Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin says, it's mutter say Tzukr for cover of the mace within Dal Amos. The Diuk is, I mean, this is not a valid Diuk. A logician would tell you it's not a Mechaber Diuk, but it's a good literary Diuk. That the Isser say Psukim Stam is only Toch Dalat Amos. So the Gra, and this is how he understands the Mechaber, he says, no, Divrei Torah are Asurin, Toch Dalat Amos, and Mutarim Chutz LeDalat Amos, and Divrei Chol are Mutarim Afilu Toch Dalat Amos. So he is the most makel. Okay, that's the only three possible combinations there are. So we have all of these possibilities. How do we paskin? Very unclear. Every achron has a different shita. The Gesher Achaim says that the minhag is like the Gra. So, The Gesher Achaim says, even though some of the Achronim quote the other opinions, he says the minig is like the Grah, that Divrei Kol, you can talk, and Divrei Torah, you can talk outside of Dalet Amos, just not within the Dalet, just not within Dalet Amos. That is, what page did I say it was? Oh, here it is. Ein Rasha the Davar Divrei Torah told Dalet Amos Lameis. Mechutz the Dalet Amos Shalom Motor, like the Grah. Okay, and the only answer is Divrei Torah. He doesn't answer Divrei Chol. However, the Shach quoted in Sif Katan Yud Aleph for the Mordechai, the whole room counts as Dalet Amos. Now, in the Achronim there, what did the Mordechai mean the whole room was like Dalet Amos? Was he basically just saying that it's usher outside of Dalet Amos? Or is he saying, no, it's usher, only usher within Dalet Amos? But a room, the special rule, the room is like Dalet Amos. So, the Yeshua Chaim understood that, no, we can be Mekel, that it's only usher to within Dalet Amos, but the whole room counts as Dalet Amos. Asur and Tok Dalet Amos, so adds the Yeshua Chaim, or in the room, which means that if you are like in a funeral parlor, what they call a Beit Hespedim here, or something like that, you know, or a shul where they're doing a hesped, we'll see when you should, etc. Then, in that whole room where the mace is, you're not allowed to talk to Brei Torah or learn, etc., because that's considered like Tok Dalet Amos, according to Bach and the Yishach. Even if it would be considered outside Dalet Amos, it would be usher. But that's pretty usher. But Divrei Chol, we are Mekel, and obviously, that doesn't mean in the middle of the Hespedim you should do idle chatter.
Well, what's the difference between the Lemaisa between the Grah and the Shach?
Ah, if it's outdoors and you're out, you're more than Dalet Amos away, according to Gesher Chaim.
Uh-huh. So that means Halach Lemaisa, if you're at a Levi and the Mace is in the room, but they haven't started yet, so you can't, like, take out Mishnayis and learn?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
If you mean Mishnayis and Mesa, would that be considered...
Ah, that's interesting.
Wait, well, why can't you take out...
Because you're in the room.
Oh, the mace is in the room.
Yeah, but usually that's not the case. Usually they only bring the mace into the room when you're starting the service, okay. So it doesn't happen. Yeah. No, that's not the... You know, that's not what usually works.
Is it even for here, then?
No.
So, like, why, I can't just read?
Ah, I mean, what about if you read...
yeah, like, practically a friendly example?
You're right. If you read it quietly, then you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, one more thing. What's the svar behind the Dalet Amos? Like, why is the whole room like a Dalet Amos? Do we find that in other areas?
So, it's controversial in other areas, and everyone knows until it's a dying, it's right? Yeah. The whole bias is the Dalet Amos, and does it mean a room, does it mean a house, whatever, etc. So, we do find it in other areas of Halacha. And we understand, because if I'm stomping a field within Dalet Amos, I'm near someone. Outside Dalet Amos, I'm not. But if we're in a room together, then we're in the same room, right? We have an envelope. Okay. So this is Halacha Maisa at a funeral. Let's just run through a few other things. Chacham Shemes, Beit Midrash Obatel. I don't know. I mean, we don't really have Nasi anymore. I've never seen people do this to the Chacham Liyad Bezdin. I don't know what would happen. Chacham means Rosh Yeshiva. If a Rosh Yeshiva dies, Beit Midrash Obatel, his yeshiva closes. She soft and also called Shiva, and they just do espade him all 7 days instead of Shiurim and Yeshiva, and instead of Seder and Yeshiva. Well, Shar and Drosh Oskim and Torah, Philip Shas Hesped, all the other yeshivas stay open even when they're Hesped. Vachar Hesped, Ain Talmud, Ms. Kabsim, Base Midrasha, El Meschaber, Shnayim Shem, Lom Vateim. Doesn't mean they're Maspid all Shiva all day long. They give a Hesped all Shiva, and then the Talmudim go, each Chavrusa goes to someone's house and learns in the house, but leaves the Base Midrash empty, and that really shows the loss of the Rosh Shiva. Abbez and Shemes, the Abbez of the whole city who dies. Kol Midrash She'er Behilim, all the yeshivas close. For Gilas Pal Beis Knes Mishan Mekoman, and everyone changes their sheet and shul, which is a sign of Avelos. How does it? Nasi Shemes. How about the Nasi of all of Klal Yisrael, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi who dies? Kol Midrash She'er Behilim, Kol Midrash She'er Behilim, Kol Midrash She'er any place where they would be masped him, meaning where they know to be masped him, they would close all the yeshivas. V'achar Hesped, Ein Echlas, Beis Medrash, and after the Hesped, they don't open the they don't go to the basement. They go learn chavrusas at home. Chovneim is palim beis avil. And if the nasi dies, then he leaves relatives. The whole city can only daven, not in shul. They close the shuls also and just go to his house. Bemechol bemeshavas chutz mipiyusat torah shavas in a separate lane, which they do in shul. Apparently, in their days, the minhag was not to bring a sefer torah to beis avil. Shakar beis knesses v'lo yitayle b'shuk. And even when they close yeshivas, they shouldn't walk around stopping the shukal yosher shofar shofar dovin kol yom. And even at yeshivas, they should just sit, everyone with their family, even if they're not learning, and just be sad all day if the nasi dies. Okay, we don't have a nasi nowadays. Your test was speaking of yechom shusem basic nasi basic medrash of a lo shar ha'am. Are you allowed to hesped in a shul or base medrash? The answer is only tamak chacham and aishes chaver kechaver, but not a regular person. Okay, in some shuls nowadays, they have a lot of espedim in shuls, because nowadays some shuls, especially in chutzlars, they have all these kulas that they say it's not a real shul. And they're not really kaddish in, they make a tznai, very controversial, they do a lot of things in shul. But if you have something that's a real chalos of a shul, then, like in Eretz Yisrael, most shuls, and maybe it should be that way in America also, then only Talmud Chacham can be masbid in shul, like the Y-based matters, they don't only allow hesped for Talmud Chacham, not stam for a donor or someone. Chacham ba'alof agon, a big, world-famous Talmud Chacham, machniso shul based matters. Now, for a regular Talmud Chacham, you can masbid in the base matters. For a Rosh Hashiva and a real gadol, you even bring the body into the base matters. And we put it where he used to teach. You continue to lodge them all the way in the walk to the cemetery. The rest of this, Vayom HaZayin and on, it's from the Torah quote in the Ramban. Most Achronim assume this is no longer referring to Chacham Aleph Agon. This is a general minhag. That on the seventh day you go to the cemetery in Vakmerso and visit the grave, and likewise on the 30th day, Vitachlish Yud Beis Chodesh, and likewise at the end of Yud Beis Chodesh, with Vakmerish Kimnoso, you go visit him and you say a tefillah called Hashkava, Sfardim of Rimach, but on this nowadays, on the seventh day of Shiva, they all go to the cemetery, and on the 30th day, and they say a special tefillah called Hashkava. Most Ashkenazim, from what I've seen, or not all Ashkenazim are Machpat on this, Sfardim are very Machpat on this, Ashkenazim some places are, some places they aren't. So it is a very, very big avera for someone to commit suicide, especially nowadays when once upon a time the goyim also thought so, or the secular whatever culture also thought so. Nowadays, especially when the secular culture is becoming more and more accepting of abed atzmo l'das, it's very important for Talmidei Chachamim and rabbis to stand up for Torah values here. Ma'abed atzmo l'das, ein maseh, and it's such a big avera that ein maseh askim l'chol davar. It's such a big avera that we don't give him any kavod. The ein maseh avlo, there's no avelos, ein maseh bino, so there's no hesped. V'lo korin v'lo choltzin, and there's no kriya, or remember they used to have chalitzas kasef, or bearing your shoulder, we don't do that. So here we have a clear split between what's kvod hames, what's kvod chayim. Here we have ma'abed atzmo ladas. What is kvod hames, which we don't do, and what is kvod hachayim, which we do. So what do we not do? We don't do a funeral, and that's misasmi l'chol dover, and avelos, and hesped, and kriya, right? We don't do a levaya, and a hesped, and and kriya, and avelos. What do? Because it's for the relatives and not for him. We do Shura and Birkas Avelim. Shura after the funeral, when they walked in there with Menachem them, and Birkas Avelim, which we don't say anymore, but there's a bracha they say to Menachem the Avelim. That we do because it's for the Chayim. There's something else we also do, which is found in the Shachir. Lo le'inyin kvur v'tachrichin amru. You still do kvur v'tachrichin. You still bury them. And you still give them the shrouds. Why do we do that? Not to the kvur v'tachrichin. The we'll see that we also do kvura and tachrichim because we assume kvura and tachrichim is for kavod of the human race of all the chayim. If you leave a body unburied or you bury a body, without naked, without a proper clothing, then that's just an affront to the kavod of rios of the fact that a human being is not a behemah. So this, we'll see later on, there's a phrase that's been called kavod dekul hu chayim. That's the kavod of all living people, that a human being should be, the body should be treated with respect. So as far as the physical needs of the body, we still do. But as far as the social honor, we give no social honor to the mace. We do give social comfort to the avelim. Now, some of this is controversial. Some of this is controversial. This is the opinion of the Mechaber, right? This is the opinion of the Mechaber, but not everyone agrees to this. Achesky? Get your special infrared, able to read faint green marker option. I'm sure there's an app for that.
I'm sure there is too, but I don't have it.
Okay. When it comes to Ma'avedas Moladas, that is one opinion, but not everyone agrees. Here we're going to see a few opinions. Ma'avedas Moladas. Do we do Avelos? And do we do Kriya? So the Mechaber says, no Avelos, no Kriya. However, the Shach says, Mashvin Kornilov, if you Avelos, that's Ramban Vatur Shavelin Kornilov. The Torah says Vafur is based on Ramban. You notice the Torah mostly quotes on Ramban here. And from his father, of course. Says the Shach, based on the Ramban and the Tour, the Mechaber is based on whom? Take a guess. Statistically, Rambam. Yes. Alpi Rambam, the Shach, Alpi the Rambam in the Tour, seems to say, no Avelos, but yes Kriya. And then the Pisgei Tshuva that Sam Sofer points out, he says, what do you mean? Didn't you read the Ramban inside? What does the Ramban say? He says, of course there's Kriya. After all, there's Avelos. So, says the Ramban Atzmo, as the Chassam Sofer brings down, there's Avelos and there's Kriya. And if you look in the Lashon of the Rishonim, this seems to be based on the question of whether it's Yikra Dechaye or Yikra Deshefi. The Mechaber assumes it's all Yikra Deshefi, and therefore we don't do it. The Ramban says, assumes it's all Yikra Dechaye. No, Avelos is cathartic, and Kriya is cathartic for the Chayim. And therefore, now, the Shach is a little funny, because the Shach really makes it sound like he's only saying there's Kriya like the Ramban. He doesn't say there's Avelos. But where does he get this from? That's not the Rambam, and it's not the Ramban. And if you want to say he thinks it's the Torah, it's a little strange. The Torah doesn't say Avelos explicitly. He just says there's Kriya. But he's based on Ramban, so. So here, there are two ways to understand the Shach in the modern day poskim. What's the svar of the Shach? It is not so clear. You could understand the Shach technically or fundamentally. The technical way to explain the Shach is that it's a suffix. One pshat in the Shach is suffix. Safek Avelos Lekula, and Safek Kriya Lechomra. I don't mean Safek, I mean Machlokes. Not a Safek, but Sias. It's Machlokes. Halacha Divrei Mekel Ba'Avel. But remember, when the Gemara says Kriya Lechod Avelos Lechod, it was about the rule of Halacha Divrei Mekel. Halacha Divrei Mekel Ba'Avel, but not in Kriya. So the Shach was just saying, I don't know what a Paskin like. So I'll be Mekel and Avelos and Machmer and Kriya, because that's a general rule to be Mekel and Avelos and Machmer and Kriya. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Shach had a lundus, he thought Avelos was Yikra Deshechvi, but Kriya is Yikra Dechaye. Kriya is Chazal, or helping you express your emotions, but Avelos is just showing comfort for the mace. It's not such a Pashat Zara. That's why most of the modern day Achronim say the first way. Because, like, it's not intuitive to me that, like, all the Avelos, I might even have said the opposite. That the Kriya, that's the Yikra, that working with torn clothing, it shows the cover that I'm willing to tear a shirt for the dear departed relative. But the sitting Shiva, that's cathartic for the Avil. Okay, so either the Shach had a psychological chiddush as to what's the Yikra of who, or most people assume no, he just was an agnostic about this. He had no idea how to paskin, and therefore he went Lekula and Avelos because that's the general rule technically, and Lechumra in Kriya because that's the general rule technically. Okay, either way, let's figure out how we poskin about this. How do we poskin about this? The Bnei Shulchan quotes in the Shvus Yaakov, and many Achronim who assume, like the Mechaber, that we assume it's all Yikra de Shechvi, and therefore there's no Kriya, and there's no Avelos. However, says the Chassam Sofer, there is that Ramban, right? The Ramban's not a nobody. As a matter of fact, Helchas Avelos, the Ramban's the biggest, you know, somebody you can get. So he says, Lemaisa b'shas hadchak for covet of Rios, we could rely on the Ramban. What kind of covet of Rios? Not covet of the Ma'abedas Moldas. You can't say covet of Rios, we have to honor the Ma'abedas Moldas. The whole point is not to honor him. You can't call something that's against the values of Chazal covet of Rios. Then you're, I can name you the people who do that, but we're not getting into that now. No, what he means is, let's say the family is so embarrassed that their kid committed suicide. It's a hush of family, and they're humiliated that their kid did such a terrible thing and committed suicide. So the Chassam Sofer says, can the rabbi let them do avelos so that it'll sort of cover up this suicide and they won't be so humiliated? So he says, okay, you can rely on the Ramban in such a shas hachak of covet of Rios, and therefore there are basically two heterim for avelos.
They don't even tell people that it was a suicide, or...
Right, whoever knows those, and they try. No one tries to publicize. Any family who's been suicide doesn't try to publicize it. So there's room to be makel. So one tzad lekula of Ma'abedat Zoladas is the chiddush of Chassam Sofer, which is not a chiddush, he's going to Ramban. Now notice, Chassam Sofer is not mattering Hesped. Because Hesped pushes Yechud Shechvi, and there's no having to do. He's just mattering Avelos in Kriya. Okay, here's Ramban to matter Avelos, and you can rely on that in a big Shas Hachak. Okay, that's one kula. But that's not Matar Hesped. Because Hesped's not a machlokas.
What are we doing Matar exactly?
Matar the family to sit Shiva.
Why can't they just be knowing? Like, what are they doing?
Because your Davka's supposed to make a knas against the Ma'abedas Moldas. Your Davka's supposed to make a knas against him. So we're Matar, they can sit Shiva and sort of high and sweep under the rug the Ma'abedas Moldas. Someone asks, why would they know his made him such a quick funeral? You know what? People forget the one funeral. Maybe it was Erev Shabbos. Maybe it was a rush. Maybe who knows, you know. But that, remember, 7 days they sat Shiva. Oh, it was a normal case.
Can you do a non-halachic Kriya to hide it also then?
Well, the Kriya, you have even more to rely on. Even the Shachim down there in Bani Kriya. So that's not even such a
Kriya. Oh, so either way you're allowed to do the Kriya in that case.
Yeah, even though we pass like the Mechaber, to say the Shas HaChak, we'll go like the Shach is an easier Kula.
Okay.
Like Kol Shekain, if we can be Makel on the Avelos, we can certainly be Makel. Because people want to sit, first of all, people might want to sit Avelos just for their own psychological needs, but that's not the Chacham Sofer's case. People want to sit Avelos because people don't want to be embarrassed that their kid is like the worst person in the world because they committed suicide. Okay, so that's one Kula, which does not allow Hesped, but would allow Avelos. However, the main Kulas we use nowadays are the Kulas that even allow Hesped. What are the Kulas that even, meaning there are two different angles of Kula. What are the two different angles of Kula? The two different angles of Kula are, one, say, he is a Ma'abed Atzmo Ladas, but Ramban. And that says the Chassam Sofer, B'makom Kavod HaBrios, you know, and Big Shas HaChak, you could be Mako. However, still no Hesped. This would just be Avelos, yes, Hesped, no. What about a bigger Kula to even allow Hesped? What would that be? You can't say he is Ma'abedas Moldas, but we're allowing Hesped. No, that's against the values of the Torah. But you can say that
he wasn't really Ma'abedas Moldas.
He's not Ma'abedas Moldas, and basically this is not, as you've seen.
What does Ma'abedas Moldas
mean? Ma'abedas Moldas clear means kills himself. Ladas is where there's a lot of room for interpretation. No, the Pasha meaning of Ladas means on purpose as opposed to by accident. Someone can kill themselves by accident, right? They drive, and they go over the speed limit, and they're going too fast, and now lose control of their car, and Chas V'Shalom, they get into a crash and die. He was Ma'amid's fault, but not Ladas, through negligence. You know, or a guy trips, and breaks his head, lolling. So, but the simple Pasha, Ma'amid's Ladas just means on purpose as opposed to by accident. You know, as opposed to being careless, where, look, it was not fair for him to be careless too, right? But it doesn't make him a terrible person, it just makes him not a careful person, right? So there are a lot of people, unfortunately, but Abadatzmo, Shalom Adas, I mean, unfortunately, in the, it's a tough world out there, and there's a lot of dangers, and a COVID is Shemayim Chos Mitzin in Pachin, and people drive without a seatbelt, and they die. That's not Abadatzmo, Shalom Adas. You know, where people go swimming, where they the undertow, what do you call it? That they shouldn't, right? Never go swimming in the Mediterranean by yourself, right? I know it's a big problem with Jewish guys. Better you should go to the beach and stare at all the girls in their bikinis than you should go swimming in the Mediterranean by yourself. It's borderline. Maybe you heard of El Yavar. I'm not suicide, you heard of El Yavar. Okay. Better, I'm telling you, because Mamash, I know people who died because they just wanted to find like a secluded place, to a beach to swim, and they didn't realize that oceans or seas are much more dangerous than you think, and especially in the Mediterranean here. You go, I mean, the whole coast. You go in and it looks calm, etc., and you're a good swimmer. Not me. You're a good swimmer. And there's this, I don't know what it is, some sort of undertow, whatever they call it. There's the currents, whatever, that like sweeps you out to sea, and Mamish, like, had a Talmud who died that way. So, anyway, that's okay. You should all be careful with all sakanas. Come here, sakana may be super. But here, that, so pshat al-adas just means on purpose. Right? However, by the time the Rishonim and Achronim get through with it, basically there's a clear agenda here in the Rishonim, the Achronim, to try to minimize the definition of Ladas and maximize the definition of Shalom Ladas in order not to put this knas on people. Why is that? I think partially it's coming because it's a very harsh knas. And you want to judge people with kafschus, and they're not around to defend themselves anymore and explain themselves. You know, and partially because of the big bizarre to the family, etc., and covenant of brios, etc. So clearly, there's a big agenda. Basically, nowadays, unfortunately, there's a lot of suicides in the world. You know, in Jewish, non-Jewish, everywhere. They're probably always worth it. That's what so many halachas about it. It's a big problem. It's a big, big, big sakana. Suicide, big sakana. I've been at many levayas of many people who committed suicide, and they always gave a statement. Why? Because nowadays the minhag is they always try to figure out a svara that they weren't really ladas. Okay, that's the minhag nowadays, to try to figure out a svara that they weren't really ladas. We'll list some of those svaras in a moment. Yes?
Do we mention if there's a ninus for Abedas and Ladas?
We did not mention there's a ninus, but it would seem that there would be, because for Haruge Bezdin, there's also a ninus, even though it's Ba'avada Risham Rina, so l'chor there would be. Anyway, so the minhag nowadays is that the rabbi stretched to be mekel, because mamash, it's a big shame for the family. It's a big humiliation for the family, not to mention the fact that a big bizayon for the mace. And even if the mace did something terrible, the family didn't do anything terrible. So we really try to stretch, and it's not us, like with modern sensitivities. You read the Shulchan Aruch, you see he's stretching. You read the Shach, you see he's stretching. And he's quoting Rishonim. So we try to stretch. What's the point of having a halacha and then always stretching? So it could be that... you know, sometimes there's like a Bensor Amora kind of thing. There's a principle, and we have to stand for the principle. Meaning, is Ma'abedus on Ladas in any way, oh, even 0.01% okay? No. Is it in any way tolerable? No. It's beyond the pale Lagamre. And that's a principle. When it comes to applying the principle, if we can find an excuse to avoid the harshness of the penalty, so this seems to be like the Rishonim and Achronim's Bensor Amora Lohaya Volonivra, to try and get out of it. However, here's one thing I would really put my foot down. And I have, unfortunately, it's one thing to say, and basically we'll list a million excuses. And then you can, yes, hesped, and everything. However, I will say, this is not a pet peeve, I think this is not to me, Surah. Sometimes I've traveled a little bit in some more liberal circles of orthodoxy. Okay, what they do in non-orthodoxy, that's not my... Yeah, I have no influence there. I have no idea. But I've traveled to some of the more liberal Orthodox circles, and I've seen a very, very, very big problem. It's one thing if someone unfortunately commits suicide, and the rabbi paskins, you can stretch and make a lumdus that it's not really ladas. So they try to keep it quiet. They just say he died under tragic circumstances. They say we're not sure what happened to him. They say, you know, Nebuch, the guy, was mentally ill and didn't know what he was doing, etc. I mean, you probably don't say that in the Hesped. Say it a little nicer. Okay, that's one thing. Unfortunately, what I've seen once or twice in some liberal circles is Adraba. They say, this person had the courage to do what he felt was the right thing to do, etc., etc. You know, I think if someone gets, okay, Katayni Maskra Yom, I was at such a Hesped and someone got up and said something like that and I didn't walk out. And I probably should have. But I'm not sure. So, okay. Better, I guess, shave El Tasa Adif, maybe. Literal, shave. But I don't know. Maybe I should have worked out. I was also very young then. I wasn't a rabbi or anything. So, but that's a terrible, terrible thing to do. Like, if someone gets up and says, he is Ma'abed Asmol Adas, and Taka was a good Svara. And Taka, we can accept what he did, and we can understand his judgment. Then that's just against Kolatar Kula. That's against the very basic principles of the Torah. And I don't think there's any room in Judaism for that kind of attitude. So if someone really committed suicide, and we want to stress to say he didn't, then okay, that's the minhag olam. If someone, though, unfortunately, wants to say he did, and I can endorse that and understand it, then... I think that that is antithetical to everything we believe in, and that's sakana, because that's just telling everyone else that it's okay. And then more people will commit suicide. Pastor Shalom.
Just a separate hashkafic point, like, in terms of whatever storyline you go with, is that only for, like, the halach shabo, or, like, let's say nafkamina for, like, chinuch? Like, do you tell your kids, like, that we actually believe this story, like, we don't know what happened, whatever it was, or, like,
yeah,
do you...
Dam l'chavschus. You never heard of Dam l'chavschus? Remember the Gemara of the guy who worked for 3 years, and then Erev Yom Kippur, the rich guy had every single kind of property and didn't pay him and sent him home empty-handed, and he nonetheless said, you must have, I don't remember all the cases anymore, you must have Makdish L'Shamayim and this and that. And he was right, you never know. Meaning, you never watch movies? Sometimes it really looks like whatever, whatever, and it's Taka Legamri the opposite. It looks like this guy died in circumstances X, and really it was circumstances Y. So maybe he really wasn't a man, but that's a little das, you never know.
Isn't that only when the guy is a tzaddik, or even if the circumstances are, like, leaning one way, if you think the person's a bad person, then, like, you're not supposed to do that.
Okay, but in this case, we are. Yes.
So, like, people have, like, a middle ground story they tell, which is, like, they use it as a platform to speak about mental health. They're not calling this person a gibor, but, like...
No, if they say this person...
into it.
So if they say this person did kill himself because he was a shote, and therefore we need to have better mental care, etc., then that's okay. If he's a shota, it wasn't ladas. Then they're not saying that what he did was okay. They're saying he was a shota. Shota is not responsible for his actions. So that's okay. If they say, unfortunately my son had these terrible illnesses and, you know, and he didn't take his meds and, you know, we have to really have better support, etc., then that's an acceptable thing, because they're not saying that what he did was a legitimate thing to do. They're saying that he was not in possession of his faculties.
Do you think there are
banim here
in Shkanarach and commentaries are talking about a way that we have luckily been trying to help people hide the fact that it was suicide, or to help the family still do the regular Avelis practices?
Both, because the families also would be much better off if they didn't have to believe that they're relative to committed suicide. I mean, I know, by the way, this happens in the best families. Lo'alenu, for all of us and everyone we know. But, you know, Rabbanish families, etc. And, you know, it's not that the families are stupid. You know, I know certain parents, whatever, unfortunately, many cases like this. They're not stupid. But they make a way of living with themselves, and they tell themselves a certain story, and they accept that story. And it's not that they're stupid and they really don't make sense. It's that, you know, we all have our things that we accept for various psychological reasons, and I think this is an okay one. Normally, you shouldn't live with illusions. This is an okay. I know many families who it's borrowed to all the neutral people out there what happened, and they have a different story about what happened. They have their own narrative as to what happened. Okay, normally, I'm not into everyone having their own narrative on everything. That's a little too postmodern for me. But I think in certain cases, you know, I think so it's not just so that they can do a Avelis and have a Hesped. It's also they can live with themselves, because it's very hard to live with yourself if it depends what it is. You know, sometimes it'd be embarrassing. Someone's sister committed suicide is embarrassing for them. Someone's kid committed suicide, it's very hard for them to live with themselves, because then it's their fault, and how do they bring them up, etc. And so so I think it's important for the rabbi. Yeah, look, the ikkar in all psychological things, they have to know who the people are, where they're holding, and what their needs are. There's no one rule, there's no cookie cutter. For most people, many people would like to have a version of the story where their kid didn't commit suicide. And it's important to let them have that, to give them that gift.
And
he was killed by a terrorist. Okay. It could be a terrorist pushed him off the George Washington Bridge. It could be, right? It's possible, right? It could be. He was found all alone in the middle of the desert with his gun on the floor, with a bullet through his head, and a terrorist came and shot him and left the gun there. And the terrorist wearing gloves and no fingerprint. It actually could be. You never know. So I think it's important to let people have that narrative.
And we should really be trying to do that?
Yeah. It's not we. Look what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. All the examples I said are nothing compared to what the post-Gemara make. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Base. Exelma Abedet Smol Adas, right? This is not a modern psychologist speaking. This is the Mechaber. Who's Ma'abedet Smol Adas? Go to Amar Eul Ol Rosh Hagag V'ru Sha'ol Miyad Der Kassel Sha'yem Meit Ser V'Nafel Meis. He said, I'm going to jump off the roof. And they see him right away go up to the roof, out of anger or out of upsetness, and fall off the roof and die. Then he's Mamre Sol Das. Avolam Ru'u Chanak Tatoli Yilam. We just see him hung on a tree, Ohar Gomush Lachagavi Saifo, or fell on his sword, right? Harei Becheskes Kol Meisim was asking Obey Mo Miyad Melavi Dam Lachavskos. Then we assume he fell on his sword. Well, yeah, maybe a terrorist pushed him on his sword. He's hanging from a tree. Maybe a murderer hung him from the tree. So if he didn't say he's doing it, then maybe it was an accident. After all, sometimes people shoot themselves by accident, unfortunately. Sometimes people hang themselves from a tree by accident. Could be. Or sometimes someone else hangs them from
a
tree.
Can someone see something in leaving a note, or we can say, like, oh, it was a fake note, or he was forced to save a note? Like, how do, like, suicide notes work?
Okay, so let's take one step at a time. Then we judge him that he is not a ma'abedat moladas. So it's only if he says it and does it, and not only that, what word did he add? Miyad. Now what's miyad? The Gesher Chaim says same day. Doesn't mean tokdei deeper. We're not that makel. But if he says I'm going to jump off the roof and tomorrow falls off the roof, then what do you mean? Today he was going to jump off the roof, but who said he was going to jump off the roof tomorrow? Maybe he was just like looking at the roof and thinking about what he wanted to do and then he tripped. Which could happen. Meaning, I'm making this up, but it actually could be. I'm sure it happened once. I'm sure in movies it always happens, because it's always like the opposite of what you think, right? What if you don't have this? So now the shock brings down a machlokas, right? What about if we didn't see him jump off the roof, but he said it? He said it, but we didn't see him jump off the roof. Says the shach, Kas Ramban, if he said it, then we assume he did it on purpose. Says the Marshal Bach, no. Even though he said he's going to jump off the roof, if we didn't see him jump off the roof on purpose, you know, there are a lot of people who say they're going to commit suicide, and then they sort of like check it out, and then he happened to slip on a banana peel and fell off the roof. That could actually happen. So therefore, what are some examples of where we assume he was not Ladas? One example where we assume he was not Ladas is if... He said, but we didn't see him do it. This is like the Bach and Maharshal we paskin against the Ramban, quoted in the Shach. Okay, the modern day post can say we hold it. And then obviously, what if he did it, but he didn't say, right? Or, what if number two, he did it, but he didn't say. We saw him jump off the roof, but he didn't say he was going to jump off the roof. Then we assume maybe he got scared by something and jumped off the roof. Maybe he hallucinated that demons were chasing him and jumped off the roof. Maybe he had a sudden mental illness and thought he could fly and jump off the roof. And therefore we assume he didn't kill himself on purpose. Because we didn't hear him say it. And this is all the classic Poskim, and this is the Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkat and Beis, quotes from the Chassam Sofer and the Evan Shoham, that, and not only that, he says, in Sifkat and Beis here, and here he goes very far. There's a fellow who sharpened a knife, said he went through Shkita, left a note on the wall that his Talmidim should say Kaddish for him, and we found him in a room by himself, like with his neck slit by his own knife. So he's saying maybe he just had temporary insanity. Okay, that's also, I mean, that's pretty big, that's a pretty big kula. So we have another kula, right? What's another kula is if, you know, right, we don't know that he, like, planned to do it. Maybe he was just temporarily insane, right? He may have been temporarily insane. Right? Because what's the case here? They didn't see him acting. They just found it in the room. They didn't see how he acted. So maybe all of a sudden he was psychotic or something.
And it's not his fault,
it was a shota. Even though he left a note.
But he wasn't sick.
And here's, even though he left a note, maybe he was just feeling sick and then he was going to die soon and getting old.
Something's about to happen.
It's a real stretch. Not only that, I'll just mention one other thing. Now, not everyone agrees with these kulas, but the Gesher Chaim Paskins, all of them. Just give one other classic example, and this is from the Gilyon Arsha on the side. Says the Gilyon Arsha, what if he drowned himself? What if he jumped off a bridge? Then we assume he did tshuva on the way down and was an honest and wasn't ladas anymore. There was nothing he could do about it. Someone actually did a study once on people who survived jumping off bridges and found that, like, Rove of them did tshuva on the way down. I mean, Jewish people, I mean, they just regretted it. So let's say he drowned himself. It takes time to drown. You don't drown instantaneously. So we assume that he did tshuva before he died.
In the case of jumping off the roof, I didn't really say that. Even if you said he's going to do it.
No, because jumping off the roof is very quick.
I mean, but you say, like, you just said people have regrets.
I mean, it depends on how high the roof is. Okay. His case was drowning, the Gilyon Arsha. Because drowning takes a while to drown, even for underwater. You live for a while before you drown. But I think also the George Washington Bridge is a lot higher than a regular roof. So if he had time to do tshuva before dying, we assume he did tshuva before dying and he regretted his actions and he wasn't Muhammad Asfal Das. So basically you see, and Kolshkin in regular cases where, you know, you don't necessarily know. So if the guy left a suicide note, then that's like an Amira. So if the guy, so sometimes it gets tricky. What if the guy left a suicide note? Okay, even if the guy left a suicide note, we're still not sure. Sometimes a lot of people leave suicide notes and don't commit suicide, and maybe it just happened by accident. He left a suicide note saying he's going to shoot himself, and we found fine. He shot himself. Sometimes maybe he was just like playing with a gun and shot himself by accident. So therefore, basically we try to minimize out of existence the application of Ma'amad HaTzmolo Das. Okay. Even though we wouldn't tell people that l'chachila, because we want people to feel the chumra of Ma'amad HaTzmolo Das, but we try to minimize the application, and when it happens, we try to not talk about how the person died. At the funeral, you know, either they talk about how the person died according to the narrative of the parents, even if it's a less likely narrative, or they don't talk about how the person died. You know, we try not to publicize Ma'amad HaTzmolo Das, and I think that's an appropriate thing. We're not saying it's okay to Ma'amad HaTzmolo Das. We're saying that, we're assuming he wasn't Ma'amad HaTzmolo Das, and therefore it's not against our principles. Okay, one other case, let's read the Ramah for a second. Misha gonav v'gazav l'ideiz ha'nerag v'din malchus mis'avlo alav. Im ein bo sakonav v'ne'im sa'malchus lo mikri ma'abed la da'as. That is very reasonable. Someone's a thief, and then he got executed. Basically, he did a crime and got killed for the crime. Then, of course, if the Malchus is going to make a pogrom, if it's going to reflect badly on the Jews, then we're obviously not masped him. But assuming that there's no sakana for the community, we're masped him. I mean, he's not Ma'amus al-Adas. Someone does something dangerous, stupidly, and gets caught, or gets killed, that's not Ma'amus al-Adas, that's Ma'amus mo, the Pshia, the negligence. This guy was a thief. Not only was he negligent with his life, because thieves end up getting killed, but he was negligent with his life to do an avir of stealing, but nonetheless, he wasn't Ma'amus al-Adas. That's a very straight svara. The interesting thing, Pesach Tshuva has a discussion, what about Kaddish for Ma'abedus Mol Adas? Let's say a real Ma'abedus Mol Adas. Do we do Kaddish or do we not? So he says we do Kaddish, but not because it's Kavod Amis, because we don't give Kaddish. Because it's Kapara, not Kavod. And even though he doesn't do Kavod, he needs extra Kapara. Although he points out in the old days, when only one person got to say Kaddish, Al-Dini Mavidus, then the kids couldn't say Kaddish for him unless they made their own minyan, because they have no right to say the Kaddish for someone else, because he shouldn't have killed himself. Like, what do you mean, all of a sudden he can kill himself and take this year's Kaddish when he should have not, they lived another 50 years? Okay, so Al-Benam Chaveiro, he has no right to get early Kaddish by killing himself. But nowadays that's not relevant, because in all our shuls everyone says Kaddish together. But I guess the Amud, the kids would not have a right to the Amud. Because you can say to the kids, what do you mean? It wasn't your turn to get the Amud. Your father cheated and cut the line. And therefore, although, when push comes to shove, I would let them have the Amud, because, like, whatever, it's not worth making this time. You know, some things are logical, but not necessarily worth it. Okay, there's a whole discussion here of, what about the fact that he's a Russia if he stole? Forget about the fact that he caused himself to die. What about the fact that he's a Russia? So we'll see that Takhtiz Machlokas. Okay, we'll come back to that. Let's just quickly finish up this simon. We should add one other thing. I forgot. What about Natan Yad? He said, but did it the next day. If he did it the next day, then we do not assume that it was on purpose. We assume it was just an accident or who knows why. Okay, the Pesach Tshuva quotes at the end of Sukkot and Beis from the Shut B'Samim Rosh that if someone just has a very hard life and commits suicide, then it's not their fault. Let's say they're very poor or have a lot of tzaras and commit suicide, it's not their fault. And he says the Shut B'Samim Rosh is a book of Tshuvas allegedly discovered from the Rosh. The Rosh didn't name B'Samim Rosh. The printer named it, the editor named B'Samim Rosh because it had the Matri B'Samim number of Tshuvas in it. A lot of tshuvas. Anyway, it's accepted by most achronim and by all historians that it's a forgery. And that's what he says here. He quotes in the achronim that the Rosh is not signed the tshuvas of Samar Rosh. There's a lot of radical things in the tshuvas of Samar Rosh, which if we knew it was from the Rosh, then it would be amazing to see all these radical things that the Rosh held that we didn't know. But given that it's probably a forgery, we should ignore the radical things. One of the radical things we ignore is that someone has a tough life because they're very poor and they kill themselves, and that's okay. It's a valid excuse. That's not a valid excuse. Even if you have a tough life, you shouldn't kill yourself. What's the only valid excuse? Let's look at Gimel. Katan ha-ma'abedus ol adas, chash v'shul ol adas. Well, that's obvious because he's a katan. He's not a bar das. V'chein gadol ha'amedus ol adas v'hu anos k'shalom melech imod min kolo. Likewise, a gadol is anos like Shaul ha'melech. What was the case of Shaul ha'melech? Shaul ha'melech was going to be captured by the plishtim and tortured to death. So he fell on his sword and killed himself. That is a valid excuse. Most folks assume that's even motzo chachilo l'oleinu. If you're going to be captured and killed by the enemies anyway, then that, and tortured first, then that is a valid excuse. So if someone is, you know, fear of torture by the enemies, like Shaul, and that's why they commit suicide, then that's a valid excuse. Whether it's a chachil or not is a big question. Rechim and Trigon refused to open his mouth and die earlier and withstood the torture of being burnt in the fire. So, without getting into that. So, yeah, Lamaisa, if someone does this, then we do not consider them Ma'amedus ol adas. We consider them onos. They just couldn't stand. They couldn't stand the torture.
Wouldn't, let's say, Masada, for example, fall under that category?
Perhaps, yes. Although You know, not so pashut though. You know, because the problem for, I mean, yes, Ayin, because I don't think they would have been tortured and killed by their enemies. They would have just been taken as prisoners of war and sold off in Rome, like all the other Jews.
So I guess so then the question is, what's...
It's not the same as Shaul.
So the question is, what's the line of...
Right, so the question is, what's the line? The question is, what's the line? And Lemaisa, what's the line of Onus? Onus means that someone just could not, you know, bear the tortures of being alive. What's the line of Onus? Okay, best to leave that a little vague. Okay, Dalit. Now we finish Ma'abrat Voladas, and we get into other Rishayim. So, very quickly, Menuda Shemes, someone, nowadays we don't really have Nidoi, right? The but Nidoi is like what we call Cherem, right? There's actually different levels. Nidoi is a lower level than Cherem.
People refuse gets.
Yeah, they put them in Seraph. It's very rare that they put them in real Nidoi, but maybe. Menuda Shemes, but we'll see. Dinu Ka'aras Voladas. It doesn't mean it's his fault that he died. It means that he just ends up with the same din, because he's a Russia. He's excommunicated. And not only we put an Evan, we put a stone in his coffin to symbolically stone him to death. That's only if they're menada him from Midon Lamakom for being chutzpahdik against and violating the Torah. If they're menada him for contempt of court for not paying his debts, meaning if he has the money and he doesn't pay his debts, he has the money, he hid his money. So he's not paying his debts. They have a judgment against him in Beis Din. You have to pay this guy $1 million. And he says, I'm not paying. And you can't find his money. He hid it very well. Then you put him in Nidoi. If it's just a matter of Dini Mamanus, then that's different. Kev Shemes, Padim Zerasim. Once he died, he's Padim Dini Mamanus. And therefore, Im Nichlev El Ronos, Pinos Okaroi, then you give him all the, basically the Nidoi is lifted when he died, because now he's Padim Dini Mamanus. And since it was just Dini Mamanus, even though Dini Mamanus are serious, he doesn't lose his rights when he dies because of... Dini Mamnos. Hey, Kalar Parsha Midarki Tzibur. Someone who leaves the ways of the community. What does that mean? Hamnashja Perkinol Mitzvah El Tzibur. It means someone who abandons Judaism. Right? He takes the whole burden of mitzvahs off his neck. He doesn't do mitzvahs for the Jews. He doesn't honor the Chagim. What they call fry in the old days in Israel. Right, someone who just doesn't practice Judaism anymore. Kasharpa Umos acts like a guy, even if he didn't convert. He just has no religion. The Chena Mumrin, likewise, converts to another religion. Va'mosrim, people who hand over Jews to the guy. And call Elo in Omnim ve'imis Avlam Leim El Achim Sharkaveim Lovshin Levanim Zachin Levanim Ve'ochlim Veshosim Usmechim. We have no Aninos, no Avelos, no nothing for them. Rather, their brothers and all their relatives wear white clothing and wear white kerchiefs, meaning they wear fancy clothing. Right? There's a diuk here that the Ritzkiya says. From here, we see that Avelim are supposed to wear black. But then he adds, it's all culturally dependent. Right? One of it, upon a time, on Yontif, if you were white, there's still some like near Hasidim who do that. And Balaam wore black, okay. But it means they put on their Yontif clothes. Right? V'ochlim shosim speichim, they make a party. Because Ba'avod Rosh Arina, because it's really a simcha when a Rasha dies, and it's not sad when a Rasha dies. That's Purushim Idarke Tzibur. Pesach Tshuva does quote from the... Chassam Sofer, we still have to bury them. Burying is a basic of being a human being. Right? After all, burying in the Torah is said about who? Who does the Torah say to bury? Does it say to bury Rol Yashiv?
Harugi Bezdin.
Harugi Bezdin, right? You're a big Rishayim. It only says to bury Rishayim. So burying, you always get the Tachrich and Ukvura. And nowadays you do a Tara. That you always get. That's just honor for the species. For humanity. Okay, but otherwise, we just make a big party when these people die. What if they're not Porsche Midarki Tzibur? What if they just do a lot of Averos? Meaning, they're not un-Jewish Lagamre. They have a Pesach Seder, and they go to Shul and Yom Kippur, but they always steal, or they always eat treif, or they always, you know, whatever. So, the Machaber sounds like only if they have no Judaism at all do we make a party when they die. But if they have Judaism, they just do a lot of Averos all the time, then we're sad when they die. But if you remember, their Amma and Simon Shin Mem said, Sifhei, Rogulasus Avera Amos Ablumalov. Even if he just does Averos all the time, let's say he's a thief, and he always steals, or he always Mechal Shabbos, or he always eats treif. The Mechaber is more harsh than the Ramah is more harsh than the Mechaber. The Mechaber just said, if he has abandoned Judaism entirely, we're not sad for him. The Ramah said in Shinem, even if he didn't abandon Judaism entirely, but he has an Aveira lifestyle, even with one Aveira lifestyle. And again, I don't mean Aveira people think is okay or they don't realize it's Chomer. I mean, Mamish, he's like an evil person. He's still part of the Jewish community, but he's a thief. Or etc. Then he says we're not misable for him. They all ask, so why did the Ramah and Sif Beis here say that you're misable for a thief? Isn't he someone who has a very rugged lasso Aveiros if he steals all the time? And Bishach has a long analysis, says maybe that's Haka Machlokis, but then he says, if you look inside the Mari Weil, that's only when he did Shuvah on his deathbed. Of course, if he did Shuvah on his deathbed, then he's not a Rush anymore. It's never too late to do Shuvah, right? Ad Yom Mosa Machat Ad Yom Mosa Techakalo and Yashav Miyad Techablo, we say to Hashem Yom Kippur. Right? It's never too late to do Shuvah. If the guy does Shuvah, so there are months if Beis who says a thief gets full kavod is when he did Shuvah. But if you be an unrepentant sinner, then he gets no kavod. So let's just review for a moment. According to Minhag Ashkenaz, if someone has an Aveira lifestyle, even if they also keep Jewish customs, there's no Shuvah, there's no Aveiros. And according to the Mechaber, if they don't keep Jewish customs at all, they don't keep Jewish traditions at all, then we do not misabel for them. Halach l'maisa, the Minhag nowadays is, and depending on who you ask, but the meaning nowadays is to be more makel or macher, whatever you want to call it about this, and to assume that a lot of people nowadays are tinuch shenishva, and even if they grew up from, you know, there was a very pernicious society which might have influenced them in unpredictable ways, and we try to down people chavschus that they're really not total rishayim nowadays. So nowadays, in general, even if someone's not from, we do sit shiva for them, and we do make a hesper for them, etc. And we assume that in the modern secular world that they're not as big a rush in the old days. It was just too hard to resist all the influences and temptations of the modern world. Doesn't mean it's okay that they weren't from, but once they're dead anyway, then nowadays, everyone who's not from relatives, and almost everyone is not from relatives nowadays by now, they all sit shiver for them, and they all have a proper Jewish, not just burial, which you have to give anyway, but it's paiden for them. And we assume that nowadays there's tinuch shenishva or semi or pseudo or borderline tinuch shenishvas of some sort. And, you know, unless they mamish converted to Christianity or something, you know, did something that's like beyond the pale of anyone in the Jewish community. But if they were reform, okay, you know what? Everyone's reformed nowadays. How many Orthodox people are in America? How many reformed people are in America? So, like, whatever, you know, the Mechaber didn't mean someone who lived in a country where most Jews were reformed. No, he meant someone who lived in a country where most Jews are Orthodox, and then this guy decides to be a Rosh Marusha. So that's why nowadays we're making with even in Israel. You know, more, unfortunately, more Jews don't keep Shabbos than do keep Shabbos, at least in terms of, you know, Malacha. So even the guy is Machal Shabbos. Okay, Mechaber meant when he lived in a time when Jews kept Shabbos, or the Ramah meant. And therefore, nowadays we generally are a little more liberal about these things.
I was just wondering one thing about the Gaon application. Doesn't he need to like also return the stuff as part of his Shuvah process, or even just the thoughts of doing Shuvah is enough?
No, that's before Shemar and Bamitzia, right? If he did Shuvah and Lohisvik Lahachzer Ad Shemes, then he's a tzaddik. He did Shuvah on his deathbed, and he would have returned it, but he was dying. I don't mean on his deathbed he says, I did Shuvah, but I'm not giving it back. Right. And some of you, it may happen if he is. He knows he can't take it with him. Right. That's common sense. Right? So Mastama, if he wasn't dying, he would have given it back. So that's not a problem. Okay. It says to Ramah, HaPorshman HaTzibur V'lorasa L'Simah V'Misavar Nonios B'Zav L'Lov. Ah, you could have had a different shot in Porshman HaTzibur. You could have done Porshman HaTzibur and you don't pull your weight. You don't pay your taxes. It says, no. Porshman HaTzibur means you leave Judaism. If you just don't pay your taxes, you're a bad person. And we should sue you. But that's not enough to make you a Russia. However, midah negen midah. If he doesn't pay taxes, we still give him a proper funeral, but no one has to go to his funeral during the workday, because since he didn't pay them what they owed, they don't have to lose money taking off time from work to go to his funeral. So no one has to spend money on him. That's midah negen midah. He didn't give them money, so they don't have to spend money on him. But, for free, You know, for if you learn how to spend money, we give them the proper covet. Vav katam and chanosh nasayim shehemer imo mace, a little baby, 1 or 2 years old, who shmads, converts to Christianity, gets baptized with his mother, and dies, amos ablon olav. We saw this also in the Ramah in Simon Shin Mem. We don't have a velos for him. This is a famous machlokes between the Rebbe and Tam and the Ri, the Doga Mervava here, also quoted in the Pinsky Chuvah, and also on the side of the page. Really argued on this machaber. The Mordechai, this is Rebbe and Tam. Where does Rebbe and Tam get the idea that this, clearly the Kutton didn't do anything wrong? He's 1 year old. What do you mean he was baptized? He's 1 year old. He doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. So, where does he get the idea from? That you punish a kid just because his parents joined the dark side? Anyone think of anywhere in Shas, end of Masechta Sanhedrin maybe, where you punish a kid? Next, his parents did avirus. That's ridiculous. But his parents mamish, remember I said, like, there's a difference between doing avirus, not being firm, versus joining the wrong side. Join the dark side? When do you kill kids?
Irani
dachas, right? Ketane irani dachas are killed. So when Tom says, now takas machlok sanam, we paskin ketane irani dachas are not killed. He says, but at the very least, they're penalized, right? We see from irani dachas that the ketanim are penalized. What's irani dachas? Right? What's the difference between irani dachas? Shuba shal mikra and blumdus. Being regular over the bazaar irani dachas, regular over the bazaar is a crime. And therefore, he gets skila. Irani dachas gets sayef, right? When do you use a sayef?
For murder.
When you go to war. Or when you go to war. Right? You make a war against the Irani Dachas, right? He's an enemy, right? He's on the other team. That's like the Shmad, he's on the other team. It's not just someone happened to do a lot of Avirus. No, they managed to join the other team. So therefore, even though he didn't do anything wrong, once his parents bring him to the other team, he's on the other team. According to Rabbi, one time of Rabbi Lezer, we managed to kill him in the Irani Dachas. Even if we will kill him, we'll certainly penalize him. That's the Shita Rabbi Tam. The Mordechai himself rejects Rabbi Tam. The Mordechai has a wild kula here. He says, it's not true. We actually don't kill the innocent kids in the Irani Dachas. It says we kill ketanim. That means we kill 11-year-olds who know what they're doing, and we don't stand on ceremony for the bar mitzvah. But you don't kill little kids. Okay, fascinating. Philosophical machlokes. Do you take kill the little kids in the Irani Dachas or not? Rabbeinu Tam says yes, or at least according to one Tana, and we penalize the little kids. Mordechai says, no, that just means we kill the 11-year-olds, because their taka are smart. It's just a technicality that they don't have das. Okay, and it's a lot, very fascinating, Mordechai. In any case, the Dogmer Rebbe disagrees with this mechaber, but I think the minhag, I don't know how often it happens. I mean, the minhag is like this mechaber, that if someone would convert with their kids, then they're not in our community anymore. And we would not sit avilus for them. Someone who fell in the sea or drowned in the river or was eaten by a wild animal, we don't deny him any honors. It's a big mystery. What's the hav meaning to deny him honors? I mean, the poor guy was eaten by wild animals, so why should we punish him?
You assume it's maybe like Dine Aramisus.
Yes, so that's what the Prisha says on the bottom of the Torah. He says, these are all of Aramis's Besdin, right? The Nahor or the Yam is Chenek, and the Achol Tochaya is Skila. And then I guess we also put the Kimsho Nachash, which is Srefa, Nahor Golistim, which is Hereg. So you might have thought he's being punished for Misa's Besdin and he's a Rasha. It's a weak Havamina. Sometimes people also have tragedies. Okay, there are many. Some people say you might think it's his fault for not being careful. After all, if you're careful, you don't get eaten by wild animals and you'll fall in the river. All right, in any case, it's some weak Havamina, and we're not exactly sure. It's a Masechta Smachos, but they don't say Masechta Smachos is Brisa style, not Gemara style. They don't say what the Havamina is. Okay, and but in any case, whatever the weak Havamina was, we give him full honors. Aron Ha'ovrim Makom L'Makom. What about a coffin that's going from place to place? Remember, in the old days, let's say someone died and wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It could be a year's journey. So, this, and it goes through all the Jewish towns. They all have to honor this coffin? Or no, let them just go quietly. So the answer is, if it's fresh enough that his skeleton is still intact, the bones haven't fallen apart, then whenever he comes to a town, you make a shura with the two rows, okay, not relevant nowadays. Whoever takes someone not shildo kayemis. If someone dies in Los Angeles, they want to bring him to Eretz Yisrael in 2 days, he's in Eretz Yisrael. because we invented airplanes. But I guess since the shoulder is kayemis, then if it's passing through, we would, and with the avilim, we would be menachem the avilim, the shura. We don't say berakas avilim nowadays. We say that chumi avilim, I walk in menachem, and make a shura nowadays. Okay, shin mem vav, shin mem zayin, shin mem ches. Let me just give a brief highlight. Shin mem vav is not relevant nowadays. Shin mem zayin is not so common. What it means is that someone whose relative died more than 30 days before Yontif shouldn't make a hesped within 30 days of Yontif. But usually people only make hespedim like at the time.
What do we do if it's right on the border?
No, if that's the burial, then if that's the funeral, then that's okay. It just means like they want to make another hesped, like an atzeres. And shin mem ches, okay, this reifa is not so relevant nowadays. Let's just mention one thing. The end of shin mem ches, I feel me she'ein lo mamon, she'tzivra amal tikberu, ein shamu lo. Not a matter of money. A guy says, I don't want to be buried. I want to be cremated. Or I want my body donated to science, or whatever it is. We don't listen to him. He has no rights over his own body. Why does he have no rights over his own body? Isn't it his body? Isn't it the yikr to shechvi? Isn't it his honor to bury him? The answer is no. It's not only his honor to bury him. It's the honor of all humanity, kavod kulu chayei. And therefore, even if a person says they don't want to be buried, we bury them against their will anyway, because that's the honor of humanity and not just their personal business. It's very important that an Orthodox rabbi, often you'll have situations where, even if you're not a professional Orthodox rabbi, even if you're not a rabbi, where like people have relatives, whatever, you know, everyone's only 2 degrees of separation from every Narishkeit in the world. You know, we think we're living in a ghetto, whatever. No. You have someone in your shul whose first degree relative is every shtus in the world. That's the nature of the modern world. Someone wants to be cremated, their body donated to science. The minhag of Orthodox rabbis, you kind of snuff, full court press on the family, you know, with sensitivity, but without letting sensitivity interfere with the principles to override their desires. And all Orthodox rabbis I know are very machbid that it doesn't matter if the person said a gazillion times that they don't want to be buried, they want to be cremated or donated, they put full court press on the family to tell them, yes, but now that your mother's soul is up in heaven, she changed her mind and she doesn't want you to, and to play, you know, and to pull at their heartstrings and play with your emotions, etc. Very important. That's the most basic kavod is kvura, and there's no permissibility for being mevater on that. Okay, we'll have to continue. Amir Tz Hashem on Tuesday.